It's my privilege to open up this next part of our series in the book of Philippians. And on the face of it, these paragraphs don't really seem to fit into Paul's train of thought so far. Having expressed his thanks to the church in Philippi, which has sent him financial aid as he's imprisoned in Rome, having talked about that imprisonment and how his he'd still been able to spread the good news about Jesus, having encouraged his readers to have the same mindset of Jesus as we've just been reading, and to serve God in each other, Paul now leaps into travel plans, as far as we can tell. He's talking about two men who are with him, Timothy and Epaphroditus, and when they would be travelling from Rome to Philippi, which is the east side of Greece. The church in Philippi knew these three men, so it's not a totally weird thing to put in a letter in some ways. But I wanted to suggest to you this afternoon that, in actual fact, this is perfectly placed. And Paul is holding out these two men to us, and to a certain extent holding out himself to us, and the relationship between them as an example of what he's been talking about in the letter so far. So if you're taking notes today, we're going to have a look at this passage under 4 points. Introductions, relationships, character and mindset. Introductions, relationships, character and mindset. I trust that what we'll see is that relationships between Christians are characterized by concern for the welfare of others. Relationships between Christians are characterized by concern for the welfare of others. So first of all then, introductions. Let me introduce you to these people who Paul is writing about. Timothy, long-term associate of Paul. He's one of a number of people who are traveling with Paul as they were traveling around the Eastern Mediterranean, spreading the good news about Jesus, sharing in Paul's joys and his sorrows as they've traveled around, his sufferings, his triumphs. And Timothy has been particularly close to Paul, who's acted as an older mentor to him. At this time, in this culture, young men would typically go into the same job as their same career as their dad was doing, and their dad would sort of help them, help teach them, equip them, mentor them. And Paul seems to have done this for Timothy as a young minister of the gospel. So that's why Paul appears to refers to this in verse 22 there, when he talks about, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. That seems to be a little relationship between these men. Elsewhere, Timothy is described by Paul as an eager student of the scriptures, teachable and obedient. He's recommended by those who knew him best. He was always ready to go where Paul sent him. Described as God's minister in the gospel. The closeness of their relationship, the closeness of the relationship, the reliance that Paul placed on Timothy. It is clear, I think, if nothing else, if you read through the Bible, Timothy co-wrote 6 of the letters that are in the New Testament. 2 of the letters Paul wrote were to Timothy. That's not 2 of the letters Paul wrote were to Timothy. 2 of the letters that Paul wrote were to Timothy. That's 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. You might 2 Timothy twice. And towards the end of his life, Timothy seems to be the one who he was reaching out to in a very intimate, personal way. So these guys are obviously close. So how about this other guy, Epaphroditus? He came from the church in Philippi that Paul's writing to in this letter, and he's come over from there with a financial donation to cover Paul's day-to-day expenses. When you were under house arrest in Rome, all the Roman Empire are paying for is the salary of the two hairy guards that you chained to. All the rest of it, in terms of the renting of the house, your food, your day-to-day expenses, you have to cover. So the church in Philippi was helping to do that. Epaphroditus had become ill when he was in Rome, ill to the point of death, and yet God had restored him. And verse 25, Paul describes him as his brother, his co-worker, his fellow soldier. That is a sweet description of somebody, isn't it, to hear from Paul. And for those of you who are perhaps new to the Bible or to this series, perhaps a few words about Paul himself. Converted to Christianity after being very opposed to it, actually persecuting it. And he travelled around the Eastern Mediterranean telling people about Jesus. On one of those trips, he helped establish the church in Philippi, which has now been the one who sent him this gift from where Epaphroditus is his home church. But Paul's now been arrested in Jerusalem and he's been taken to Rome, where he's awaiting trial. So these are the three individuals who have some aspects of their relationships recorded to help us in. We've set the scene, we know who's who. So our second point there, what is recorded here about their relationships? Well, I think as we've touched on, the first thing seems to be Paul's great affection for Timothy and Epaphroditus. He loved it. Verse 20, he says, I've got no one else like Timothy. That's high praise, isn't it? I've got nobody else like Timothy. The description of Epaphroditus there in verse 25 is very warm. And these guys have been through a lot together, whether it's just in Rome. I mean, the guy who's come to the church has nearly died. That's got to be such a trying time. Timothy's been through many other struggles with Paul as he's travelled around. So there's deep affection for these guys. This is a deep relationship. There's no surface thing. This is no, how are you? Hi, I'm good. Yeah, nothing of that level at all. I think we could also say that there was a great generosity exhibited here between these guys. Certainly there's been generosity from the church in Philippi. Later on in chapter 4, Paul describes how his needs have been amply met by the gifts from Philippi. Elliot will be talking to us a bit more about that in a few weeks' time. Now, you know, I don't know if you realize this, but often when we preach things, God knows years in advance of what we're going to preach before we do. So we didn't know that I was preaching this passage about this when Felicia was coming from the headline. Now here's a great illustration, isn't it? Right? Object lesson. Here's somebody who's come from a church, was partly with our church, doing the same kind of thing. Yeah, bringing money. Now, Fifi came on a plane into Heathrow. Epaphroditus didn't have that luxury. He had to travel quite a long way. That was the arduous travel. Fifi slept on the train, on the plane, she told me, so that was no big deal. But the model is there. Yeah, generosity between individuals, generosity between churches. God knows these things in advance. He knew we'd be preaching today. He knew people would be with him. And there's a generosity in Epaphroditus himself here. He's had to leave his home church and travel with great risk to Rome. The Philippine church could have been as generous as they wanted to. If Epaphroditus hadn't been willing and able to travel that distance to deliver it, that gift would never have landed. It wouldn't have done anything for them. So he has also been very generous. And the risk has been high. He has been, verse 27, at the point of death. This isn't a slight head cold. This is a guy who has almost died. Paul says, verse 30, he risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give. That phrase is just, he had to bring it. Yeah, you couldn't bring it, he had to bring it to the cross. He was clearly sacrificing a great deal for the sake of the gospel. And we shouldn't underestimate the importance of connections like this, whether we're talking about Kilnhurst or we're talking about the Cayman Islands. One writer commented on the passage, friendship in the gospel, formed across barriers of race, geography, culture and class, is an excellent way of helping today's church to be what Paul believed it should be, the single new humanity. Doing what's happening here with Timothy, with Epaphroditus, with us, and Fifi, this is furthering Paul's single new humanity. However, there's also generosity here from Paul himself the other way, because Timothy and Epaphroditus are clearly gifted men in different ways. Surely it would have benefited him and what was happening in Rome to keep them with him, retain them in this missionary group that has been making such an impact on the whole Roman Empire, that's been influencing Caesar's household itself. Paul seems to have half an eye on the trial coming up, and he's sort of saying, well, yeah, maybe I'll keep Timothy for a little while at least until we know what's happening with that. But we've heard Timothy was important to this group, and yet Paul is glad to have the opportunity to send these guys back. He's going to send Epaphroditus back pretty much straight away. We think he took this letter back with him to Philippi. And we know that his desire was, we can see there, not only to send Timothy, but to come himself as soon as he could. He didn't know the outcome of the trial. He was trusting God with that. But his hope was to be with these dear brothers and sisters who had been supporting him from Greece. And so that gospel generosity, not just financial, but people's time, their lives, characterized their relationships between each other. This is here for us as an example. If you want to know more about that, you can explore it with Elliot, with the second of the Managing God's Way course seminars, 2 weeks time. With other relationship, things are going on as well. Although Paul had only recently met Epaphroditus when he'd come with his gift, we don't think they'd met before, he described Epaphroditus' recovery as sparing him sorrow upon sorrow after this serious illness. Paul is emotionally invested here with someone who he's met relatively recently. He jumps straight in. There's no, and he wants to send him back in part to Philippi because Epaphroditus is in distress. He's in distress because the people in Philippi are in distress because they've heard that Epaphroditus was ill. And so Paul is concerned for the emotional well-being of Epaphroditus. He anticipates the gladness that the Philippian church will feel when Epaphroditus goes home. He reminds them to treat him with great joy. And so there should be this a deep emotional connection in our relationships between Christians. And because we have everything in common with Christ, that should happen perhaps quicker than we for others. Talk about Timothy, back up there in verse 22. Notice Paul says, because as a son with his father, he has served me in the work of the gospel. Again, Epaphroditus is a brother, co-worker, fellow soldier. There was a great unity of purpose for these men. They were all about the same thing. They were all about Jesus. They're sold out for Jesus. They want to tell people the gospel. And whatever else is going on, the other distractions, they are clear. That's what we're doing. That's where we're going. Co-workers, fellow soldiers, all of them submitting to the rule of Jesus for this great gospel purpose. you see how these relationships between these three men, and indeed their relationships with the wider church, can be characterized as a concern for the welfare of others. They're looking to the welfare of others. Whether it's in whether they're expressing their generosity of time or money, whether they're feeling their joys and their sorrows, mourning with those who mourn, whether it's the unity of purpose. This is how their relationships are characterized. This is how relationships with Christians are modeled here. How about us? How are we doing? Is this what people would write about REC if asked? When Peter goes back and tells people about REC, is this what she will say? Well, these are the kind of words that will be used to describe our relationships with one another, a concern for the welfare of one another, unity, generosity, joy, sorrows. Are there things, how are your relationships with other Christians more generally, perhaps? Are there things for you to rethink? Is this how you feel in those relationships with other Christians? Perhaps you're here and you're not a Christian. We're glad that you're here. We've been glad that you've been able to look into this part of the Bible with us. Does this kind of description of a relationship seem attractive to you? People who are genuinely concerned for you. People who will be generous to you. Is that something that's attractive to you? Or whether Christians or non-Christians, how can we stir ourselves up in order to have relationships more like these? How can we follow these examples better? It's not just a question of just trying hard. Because Paul and Timothy and Epaphroditus are relating to each other in this way because our third point, they're following the example of Christ in his character. So all that's possible because underneath this, they have taken on the character of Christ to some extent. The kind of character that Ewan was reading to us from verses 2 to 4. Let me remind you what it says there. Being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. These guys were selfless towards each other and to the Christians around them. Look back there in verse 20 and 21. One of the reasons why Paul says he says he has no one else like Timothy is because he says Timothy will show genuine concern for your welfare. Verse 21, everyone looks out for their own interests, but not those of Jesus Christ. Notice in passing then, the interests of Jesus Christ is the same as having genuine concern for the welfare of others. Those two things are repeated in the two verses. You can see those two things are actually the same thing, which is unsurprising, isn't it? Because Jesus commanded us to love one another as I have loved you, to love your neighbor as yourself. And he himself ultimately embodied it when he died for us on the cross, affirming it in his resurrection. Paul is prepared to put the welfare of the Philippian church above his own by sending Timothy and Epaphroditus to them. He's worried about Epaphroditus' welfare and concern, his distress and anxiety, the fact that he's been ill, because of the character of Jesus that he has been taken. Epaphroditus has been selfless in the way he's taken this risky journey with his financial gift because of the character of Jesus. That has been, has come to him. This concern for others. But spiritual welfare, physical welfare, emotional welfare, we see it in these relationships with these men. But linked to that also is great humility amongst these three guys. In order to put others first, these men are valuing others above themselves, back over in the top there. They're not seeking positional power, not seeking their status in the group. Timothy's not saying, no, I can't go back because I need to stay close to you, Paul, because I'm your deputy, I'm your number two guy, you need me there. Instead, they're just getting on with what needs to be done. Whether it's letter writing, whether it's Timothy who's going back to care for them pastorally, Epaphroditus travelling backwards and forwards. As Paul Robinson said last week, without grumbling or complaining, as far as I can tell. These guys are humble in their relationship with each other. Something else they are is they're submissive to each other. Submissive, first of all, to the will of God, and then to each other as well. All three are doing what they can in different ways to spread the gospel, build up the church, care for one another. That in itself is submission to the will of God. They're not trying to further their own nest. They're not trying to do anything like that. But they're submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Timothy and Epaphroditus, yeah, we'll go. That's where you want to go. We'll go back there. Perhaps they don't want to go to Philippi. Paul himself could have possibly gone, he's expressed in the places his desire to go to Spain. But it seems to be, the church in Philippi seems to be being oppressed and attacked, and Paul saying, no, I need to be there. Nobody here is standing on their own rights. Nobody here is saying that's not in my job description. They are willing to submit to God. They're willing to submit to one another. I'm sure that this kind of character and other words that could describe it from the Philippians is ringing bells with you because it's the character of Jesus. This is how he was. This is how Jesus is. If we want relationships like these, built on a selfless, humble, submissive character. So if we want to have generous relationships, unified, sharing joys with each other, sorrows with each other, that's going to be built on the character of Jesus, the humility, the selflessness. That has to be built on our fourth point, the mindset of Christ. Having the mindset of Christ. Verse 5, we read it at the beginning of the passage there. This is going to help us to have those kind of relationships. The deep affection, the gospel generosity. And we can get a glimpse of that here. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ. Have the same mindset as Jesus. It's right there for us. He tells us how to do it. The humility of Jesus to step aside from his rightful glory, to the selflessness to step down, to be crucified by his own creation, to save his people, to submit to the will of the Father, to the point of death on the cross. Isn't that generosity to us who are so undeserving of his mercy? So undeserving of his grace? Isn't that selfless? Isn't he now unified with his people? Isn't he now unified with us, bound together by the Holy Spirit, sealed to him because of the resurrection? Does he not have great affection for his people? Rejoicing in our joy, sorrowing in our sorrows. This is the mindset he wants us to have. And that is the mindset that God shares with God the Father and the Holy Spirit as well. Their relationship, three persons in one being, is characterized by unity, generosity, affection, all these things. And this is what these travel plans are here for, actually. To show us these guys, and to show us how they are interacting with one another. This is no arm's length, casual friendship. They have been aspiring to have the same mindset as Jesus, the same aspiration we should have. If we have that mindset, we will be able to think about, reflect on our relationship. The Holy Spirit will go to work in us, building up the character of Christ. That will have an impact on the relationship between us. It will allow us to rethink what we do, to be more like the relationship God desires for us. I don't want to dig into other guys' sermons coming up in a few weeks' time, but let me just read for you at the end of verse 17 of chapter 3. Keep your eyes on those who live as we do, Paul said. Keep your eyes on those who live as we do. He could be writing that about Timothy and Epaphroditus. Keep your eyes on these guys. Keep your eyes on what they're doing. So Paul is saying, keep your eyes, Paul saying, keep your eyes on me, what I'm doing as well. But he's pointing us also to the examples around us. Keep your eyes on what your life group leaders are doing. Keep your eyes on what the elders around you are doing, what your visitors are doing, what the Christian sat next to you is doing. We are here to point each other to these kind of examples in our relationship. Who has been concerned for your welfare this week, perhaps today, perhaps even as you walked in? How can we explore that together as a church, encouraging each other, following the example of Paul and Timothy and Epaphroditus, even as they followed the example of Christ? Because at the end of the day, he's the one who's most concerned for your welfare. Well, you know, yeah, your Christian brothers and sisters are concerned for your welfare, but Jesus is the one who is most concerned. That's why he's given us these examples. That's why he's brought you to church today. Far more importantly, that's why he died for you. More than anyone, he desires to have a relationship with you that's characterized by these kind of things. He wants you to absorb the character, his character, even as you grow in faith. He desires it so much that he was crucified for it, to pay the price for it. He rose from the dead in order to prove to you that that is what he wanted. The ultimate selflessness, humility, courage, affection. Don't you want that kind of relationship? Don't you want that kind of relationship with Jesus? If someone's love, someone's concern for you is that overwhelming, don't you want to have a relationship with that person in that way? Jesus is that person. When we rethink our relationships, perhaps you need to think perhaps why you don't want a relationship with Jesus like that. I think that's an important question you might want to ask yourself if you don't want to be a Christian. Perhaps we need to rethink how you love others and look to their interests. Remember, when you're loving others and looking to their interests, you're looking to the interests of Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the examples you give us in the Bible. People who You hold out to us not perfect, but yet modeling things that we can relate to, that can encourage us and challenge us. Lord, help us to look to the welfare of others. Because that is what you want. Help us look to the welfare of others because that is what you did. Help us to look to the welfare of others because that's what you call us to do. Lord, please help us through your Holy Spirit to do this well. Thank you, Father. Amen.